Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this week from beautiful Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have a great show lined up for you guys today. We have Linda Feinholz, my co-host and founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello there. It's a beautiful foggy day in Los Angeles town today.
Aww. Well, I'm so sorry for you. You should come join me over here.
There we go. And are we going to have the birds joining us on the balcony as well this
More
week?
Than likely we will.
Well, the birds are going to be a perfect accompaniment. I am so excited about our guest on today's show. You know, as someone who's been living the entrepreneurial life for over 20 years, there are so many times where the ideas I have for what I want to create in business and what I actually feel myself manifesting in business create plenty of opportunities for me to start judging how I'm doing and criticizing what I am and am not getting accomplished. And since I don't like living in that mindset, I've spent a lot of time learning techniques that I use to catch myself when I find myself slipping into that kind of mindset. And a number of weeks ago, I was talking with another woman who said, oh, you'd love this material that I'm going through now. And she put me in touch with the material at Mastery Systems that's been created by Robert Tennyson Stevens. And I dove in, and it's transformational. And I spent maybe my first hour and a half with his material and said, that's it. I know I want him on our radio show. So, Robert, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
As a little bit of background, Robert has been, for nearly 40 years, bringing forward tools of self-mastery, mindset, manifestation that, from my own experience of them, I'm going to say they're highly spiritual and practical. And I know that's language, Robert, that people use all the time, isn't it?
I imagine. I haven't been studying a lot of what everybody else is doing because I've been so focused on getting my launch, so to speak, bringing a new operating system to our planet. So I believe you're accurate. I mean, you know, we're all on the same page. We're all breathing the same air.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart man. Smart man.
And do you prefer Robert or Bob?
Yes.
Bob.
Yeah, either one's great, honey. Either one.
Wonderful. So, you know, what snagged my attention first was that the very first content, the very first piece of this operating system that you're talking about that I found was this terminology you have called conscious language. And that's exactly where I would love us to start today, is with this whole exploration of what you mean by conscious language and how you came to craft this operating system, this technology that you're sharing.
Beautiful. Well, it's been 1968, just real quick version of how I discovered all this. In 1968, I did an independent study, second year in college, Western Michigan University, on the Hopi language. And, you know, I was getting, hopefully I thought I was getting 4 credit hours of A and it was going to be real simple. Well, it changed my entire life. I love the Hopi. I told my professor I'd like to write about the Hopi because I didn't have to study anything. I could just sit down and write it because I was reading options for consciousness. We were fighting for peace, which didn't make any sense for me. We had the Vietnam War at that time. And so my professor said, how about study the Hopi language? And it was so much bigger than what I thought. The Hopi language, and what I can now say is the Hopi language revealed to me what language is. And language, all of our language, is an operating system. We didn't have computers back then. We do now. I can say it's an operating system. Back then, I just knew that the very definition of a language structure, our language shapes our consciousness. And so a book was written that I happened to study, Language, Thought, and Reality, by Benjamin Lee Whorf. And that study of the Hopi language woke me up to the idea, not about Hopi language, to the idea that our tongue, our language, that which we build our thought and therefore our world in, as we change or wake up a new language structure, we can actually build an entirely new reality according to our thoughts, our words, and our feelings. So I started teaching, once I got a little bit older, I started teaching a thing called mastery of words, and then it became mastery with words, and then it became simply mastery, which is my personal self-choice to become masterful with it, with my master self inside. And at one point in sharing what I did, I went from calling it the language of mastery, which I still use that terminology, to conscious language. And the minute I, you know, we talk about branding, I love some of the descriptions of your blog here and your blog talk. Conscious denotes aware. And the minute I named it conscious language, somehow people got it. There was an automatic acceptance. So the idea of conscious...
You're saying something that's so important. I really hope that everybody is listening to this on so many levels. My undergraduate degree was in linguistics, and it happens that because I grew up in Europe, I speak four languages. And, of course, nowadays I don't speak them at the level I could use for scientific discussion or sophisticated business discussion, but I became aware that because each language has a different grammar and has different words, our thoughts, our view of the world are changed by the language that we own, understand, and use. So I love the intersection that you're describing.
Yes, I mean, a point in reference, I was sharing a high-end, you know, the advanced training, and we had a Polish psychologist in the class and a Polish MD. And they both got together and they started having this conversation, and then they finally came to me and they said, Bob, we have both gone through our understanding of the language that we grew up with, our root language, our root tongue, and we do not have, and this is their, I mean, not my study, this is what they came up with. They said in Polish, the Polish language, there's no word for thriving, which is one of our common things I'm inviting everyone to do, is to move from survival to thrival.
Wow.
So just that alone is like, and they said, we commit to bringing the consciousness and the languaging of thriving to our, you know, to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of conscious means just aware. And, you know, like if somebody says, I want love, well, that may be true, but what the word want means, it means to desire without having, or to wane, or to lack. And so it's not wrong, and really moving out of right wrong, just does the words, I want love, produce love, know what it does is define, I desire love without having it. If I stay wanting, I won't have it.
And I love that example because every single person who's listening to this can relate. It's language we use so casually, and yet it's wired so profoundly into our thinking.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yes. And first of all, thank you for doing what you're doing, and also thank you for having a background in linguistics and, you know, having your taste of wow, this particular culture and their language, they have a whole different reality. And so,
and as I've moved among cultures and companies, you know, if you're talking to an entrepreneur that's never had an experience of a corporate setting, there's all kinds of jargon that happens in a corporate business world that's been created as a shorthand for people to be able to communicate with each other, and the concepts they're communicating are valid and important in business. And I'll walk in to work with an entrepreneur who doesn't even understand the concept because they've not had any language around it or any exposure to the concept to give it labels and to give it language. So it happens even when we stay, quote, in the same language.
Yes. Yeah, I live in Western North Carolina, and even though they call this English, it's way different than what we might, you know, you almost like you, to. I have many, many people come here for trainings, and I sometimes say, now, here's what you have to do. You have to slow down, or you're not going to get served food. So it's pretty fun.
Gina, I bet you're living that in Florida, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so from conscious, so from the late 60s and conscious language, how did your path then evolve into doing the teaching and the training and designing this operating system?
I believe it really designed me to be, you know, ultra honest about it. I'm discovering the truth, which has already been here. So I've got a huge Eastern background, you know, of study, spiritual study. I've got a Native American background, and some of my blood is Native American. I have a physics interest highly. I love building physical things, so that's in there. I love decrees, affirmations, success. You know, that I'm full on. I've been full on for 40 some years. And when I found people would come to me, I do alternative forms of health, and one of the ways I do it is a thing called iridology, a study of the iris of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my own system. And anyway, the bottom line is people would come to me and they would say, hi, Bob, I'm here, I want, I can, I need. And all of a sudden, I woke up one day to the fact that our subconscious is 100% literal. And every single person who had a physical situation going on, or let's say a situational something going on in their world with a relationship or money or whatever it was, the individual within usually a few couple words would actually define their agreement with their limitation without even knowing what they were saying.
Mm. Do you have some examples so people understand
sure.
what we're talking
people
about?
Would, yeah, eyesight. Somebody would come in and they're, you know, having a challenge with their eyesight, and they're, you know, I can't see and it doesn't look to me like, and somebody with hearing is, I don't want to hear that, and I just don't like the sound of that. And, you know, it goes from that, which is pretty straight up, to exacting language now of, you know, like within three words or less, generally, I can, you can, anybody can, once they learn the system, discover what feeling, hidden feeling usually, is in the picture. Another piece of this puzzle is people would say, you know, I feel like, and what I found out, I mean, I'm shortening this all up for years, I found out that the words I feel like are the three words of codependence, where our happiness is dependent upon another person, place, condition, or thing. So I would say, well, what do you feel? Well, I feel like, and I feel like is not a feeling. It's an association with someone else's feeling, which is the beginning of codependence. Others would say, it feels like, or it's like, or it feels. Those words like it feels, or we are a being of I am. That's, I'll leave it as general as that, and yet as powerful as that. And if I am that I am, so to speak, and I say it feels, what has happened in that interaction is the individual's, what I would call their emotional body or subconscious, has created or been identified as a separate something, and it feels, something outside or separate, which is exactly what unconscious language is. I call it the Babel virus. You know, the word Babel means confusion, and I may speak about quotes from different forms of scripture, and I'm not talking about religion at all, I'm just talking about laws. So maybe we've had a confused language, I certainly believe it, we have, and the words like I want, I can, I need, should, gotta, have to, must, need to, etc., don't even come close to the true identity, once we wake up to it, of I am that I am.
Yeah, yeah, when there's a recognition of actually being source in your own life.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Mm, powerful.
And the whole Babel virus is about looking outside ourselves for our happiness, our success in business, our relationship, our creator, our abundant supply, whatever it is, our health. And truth is, you know, it's as we think in our heart, so are we. So all my metaphysical study, my decree affirmation, my success, my body stuff, my body language, my health stuff, my physics, metaphysics, you know, quantum physics, they all came together as we woke up as humanity in the idea that, wow, my words happen.
Hmm. I love so much what the way you're describing this. You know, there's so much material out there about law of attraction and this notion that if you just declare what you want, you in fact have triggered it manifesting in the world. And people find it so very difficult to understand on that level. And I think the way you've just described it actually says it in a way that's so beautifully accessible and understandable.
And I will add to that, and thank you, I will add to that, is that it's not just words, it's thoughts, words, and feelings, the trinity of manifestation.
Yeah.
So I might just say, you know, honey, I love you, and if there's no feeling or meaning to it, it's you know, two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And if I really express, you know, my choice in life, if I express with exacting specificity, first person personal, conscious creative, here now, not like in the future, with feeling, and then feeling the meaning in each word as I say it, I will have instantaneous manifestation.
There's a terminology that you use that I would love if you could both share, unpack it and share it with us, and also perhaps take our listeners through using it in our imagination or accompanying you and so on. So, for instance, you have terminology that's imagination activation. And when I first saw the words, I thought, well, isn't that the whole point of imagination? It just activates stuff, but that's kind of a sideways, kind of flip way of thinking about it.
I would even say maybe just a yes and, because, you know, that's funny, I'm sputtering. I laugh when I start sputtering. I have so much to share. It's like my information experience level is pretty advanced on this, and my little cognitive self goes, good luck, buddy. All right, so I'm just chuckling myself going, okay, a little too fast on the modem here. So I'll slow it down. So imagination works, and I had so many miracles without necessarily understanding how I did it. And so one of my basic tenets of life, at almost 40 years now, I've had the same focus of, if I was with someone, one of my mentors, teachers, somebody, and they were able to produce a miracle, I personally went, how'd you do that? Not just, they might have talked about it, but they didn't teach me. And for me, I'm going, look, I choose to master this thing and then obviously help others. That's one of my missions in life. So imagination is a state. I love the word imagine. In phonetic spelling, it's I-M-A-genie. Pretty cool word.
Mm-hmm.
So in the idea of imagination, the author Neville, his real name is Neville Goddard. He passed around 1972. I found his material, gee whiz, I guess it would have been 87, something like that. And I invite everybody, I encourage everybody to read the author Neville. And he basically gave this tenet, which was the capstone to the work, my creative mission in life. He brought the capstone to everything else I had in place. And he would say, don't imagine towards something or about it or of it. He would say, imagine from your wish fulfilled, again, not of it, toward it, or about it. And so my wife, when she was on the planet, said, you know, I had miracles reading Neville, and she would read Neville and go, she threw the book at me one day, and she says, I hate you and I hate Neville, and jokingly. But she said, you better put together a class and systematize this the way you do, because I don't get it. And there's a particular, maybe creative mindset that can understand the big picture Neville talks about. What I did is systematize it. So, in a nutshell, awakened imagination or imagination activation for me means that instead of attempting to move the known blocks of our world around because it's feasible and possible, which is not imagination in my book, that's just rearranging the reality inside of our box. Imagination is creating an entirely new reality without any thought of how whatsoever, according to the wellspring of our heart and our what I would call our high creative self or our divine mind. So here in a nutshell, if I go, what's possible for me today is that I'm not creating. But if I say, the vision I see is this, no matter if it's possible or reasonable, I'm going to drop that out of my imagination, and I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to imagine from this state. And I've done this so many times myself that that's why I teach it, so I stay in the conversation. I mean, all coaching is self-coaching. Everything I'm teaching is for me. And so the idea, I know it's a long conversation, there's a lot here. The idea of activating our imagination is always from our wish fulfilled. So first step, it's important to name what we choose, and then instead of trying to figure out how to get it, this little scriptural statement has smacked me upside the head in a good way so many times. It goes like this: I have ways ye know not of, and they're beyond finding out. Wow, beyond finding out. And my little conniving mind, my little mind, always in the past was going, well, how is this going to happen? How am I going to do it? How is life going to do it? How is the universe going to do it? It's not my job. My job is to identify my dream and then simply trust I have my dream and vividly, what I call using the 16 senses, imagine from my dream already existing, and miraculously, my dream exists.
Well, you just gave me three different questions that I want to ask all at the same time. Can you share the 16 senses? And then I'll get to the other questions.
Well, I'll give you some of them right now.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, motion.
Yeah.
Some of the, you know, motion, direction, balance, heat, tactility, which is touch, you know, sound, of course, sight. But then warmth, cool, darkness, light, not good, bad, but just a darker quality and a lighter quality, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So once, for me, it's like the normal senses that we had didn't activate enough of our creative potential. And so I went through and discovered 16 senses, which when an individual is designing something and I say, well, what's the color? What's the motion? What's the direction? What are you smelling? What are you hearing? And sometimes just those steps alone, they might add what they're hearing. And all of a sudden, literally, the individual will a cascade of feeling and emotion and automatic deep breath will happen for that person because they've just entered the mansion of their dream in its fulfilled state.
And so from that state, from that place, now they're living from that state rather than trying to figure out how to get to that state.
Yes, 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 yes.
Cool.
Way cool, I know, sorry.
Gina, I suspect that this is part of what went on when you were doing your healing.
It is very much what went on when I was doing my healing.
Perhaps you'd share a little bit with Bob so he understands the context that we're talking about.
Back in the 90s, I had started out as an attorney because my goal was to become a law school professor. And in 1996, I was involved in a very serious car accident that left me in a hospital bed and wheelchair for about the next 10 years. By 2005, the doctors gave me just 12 to 18 months to live. So my husband and I had hit the road in an RV, thinking we would have about 8 to 10 months before we'd have to come home and it would be time to die. And 6 months in, it was my 41st birthday. And my husband wanted me to have the best last birthday that I could. So he took me to see a massage therapist in Sedona, hoping to help with the pain for that one day. And the woman literally changed my life. She told me that I didn't need to die as soon as I thought if I could remove the negativity from my life. And I explained that I was the most positive person she was ever going to meet. I didn't have any negativity. She went on and explained that if that's all I had, it wasn't going to save my life. And from there, we got into a conversation about the power of visualization. And she asked if I used it. I said yes. She said, describe your visualization. And I said, well, I see myself as I am. I'm in a wheelchair. I've got these tubes coming out of me. I'm bald. I'm sick. I'm dying. And miraculously, I stand up and my tubes fall off. And all of a sudden, I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm walking. I had no feeling in my legs and feet. So the walking thing seemed like a far-fetched thing for me. And the whole time I'm describing it, she's shaking her head. And she says, how do you expect to start at a negative place and get a positive result? Well, I hadn't even thought about that before, much less understood what she really meant by that. So she suggested that if I could work my way backward in time and imagine that at each point in my life that something, quote-unquote, negative happened, I was in the car accident. I had a surgery. I contracted some condition. That immediately prior to that negative event, that my energy had split into. And if I could imagine what that energy of Gina would be like, never having gone through and been impacted by all the things that brought me to this sick, dying place, that I could then see what that Gina's reality might be like today and make a conscious choice as to what to do with that. And so over the next 4.5 months, I used this exercise. I researched and applied as much of the research as I could and went from being sick, dying on 42 pills per day, 4 continuous IVs per day, to being 100% well, able to walk again even though I don't have feeling in my legs and feet, and just completely changed my life in just 4.5 months.
I celebrate you.
Thank you. And it was a tremendous journey that has changed how I look at everything in life, in business. I mean, everything has changed because of it.
Neville had written in one of his books that he believed he was going to be remembered. I mean, his big thing in the world was being remembered for what he called the pruning shears of revision. And it's one of the very powerful, in fact, we even have a video on it that's available on our website for folks to be able to see a real, it's really real, of somebody revising their reality until it is their heart's desire. And I love, I probably even know who this person is in Sedona, by the way. But
you probably do.
Yep. praise
She's
God.
He's at the Crystal,
you know,
Vortex.
Awesome. I know right where that is. So the idea that you went back and revised your past until it is your ideal, that you hooked yourself back up. Now, I believe in the biggest picture that we're all going back to our original heart language.
Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Instead of the language of separation, which defines dis-ease, not disease, we're going back into ease or grace or union. Now, I'm not talking religious stuff. I'm talking about the true nature of one in all life, one with I am that I am in us, so to speak. So, I mean, yes, you know, keep it up and keep sharing, because our world, you know, so many people come to me with a quote-unquote disease and say, well, I really don't work with disease, I work with ease. And so let's find out where you are, what you're saying, what you're communicating, and then where's the glitch and how do we transform the glitch? And here's one beautiful thing, which is my platform. Scripturally, again, not religion, it says, your greatest weakness shall be your greatest strength. If anyone can, most people, like, they would say, I feel fear. And I say, are you feeling fear? I say, oh, yes. Or are you running from it? I'm running from it. Are you loving your fear or do you hate it? Well, I hate it. Well, then they're not feeling it. If somebody can even touch fear with love, they will thrive. That fear will reshape itself into the fear's inverted security and faith and trust and assuredness and confidence. And the only way to take an inversion like disease into ease, or anger into forgiveness and loving action and authority and authorship, is through us being fully present with love.
Beautiful. Her name is Rafa, by the way.
Beautiful. Yeah, a whole bunch of my videos, not the current ones, but the whole bunch of our videos were shot right near there, within 2 blocks, something like that. So.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful place.
Yes. Oh, my. Yes. Oh, my. Red Rocks. Hello.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful energy just in constant flow there.
I agree. Now, when I went there, it's like I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to sit outside going, man, this is beautiful. So it's a beautiful, beautiful area. It's some of it's a little airy fairy for me, and and yet there's so much beauty in there, in the people there, and the life there, and earth there, just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's another phrase that you use, and I was thinking about it as I was listening to Gina's story, which is this phrase, outcome facilitation. Because I'm in the business world, in the context of the business world, facilitation describes being in a sense, separated from the people in the process, or using the process to that you're taking people through in order to create an outcome?
Are those questions or statements?
No, that was my frame of reference.
So
I would love if you would describe and dive into what outcome facilitation means.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So first of all, the word facile means to make easy. It's the continued, Webster says, it's the continued successive application of the necessary stimulus to attain a particular result. So how cool that most people, like in business, I do a lot of business coaching. In fact, I love business coaching. I love anybody committed to building something to help their world. You know, marketing is the wants and needs of people and how to serve them. I believe we can upgrade that, but it's still the same thing. So many people, like even going into a relationship or building a product or designing a home or whatever, what frequently we as a humanity haven't done is gone and in our imagination live in our new home or relationship or with our product or our business model for a period of 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years to make sure it's our ideal. And early in my, I would say somewhere late 70s, I found a book. It was out of print since the 30s, and it was a brand new book. I bought it somewhere. It's like, how's that work? But anyway, you know, I know it was a miracle. That's what I can say. And it's called The Success Process by the author. It was either Brown Landon or Landon Brown. I loaned the book out and haven't seen it for years. So anyway, what he would say was that he talked about vivid. That's where I went beyond what he described as imagining vividly. And he said he met an engineer who would design a mechanically functioning something in his imagination, build it completely in his imagination, and then take that imagined mechanically operating thing, set it on a shelf, and come back and check it out every 5 years and make sure it ran perfectly for 20 years in his imagination, and he would consistently upgrade it and rebuild it so there was no wear in the way it operated. What that did for me was wake me up to the idea that I could actually, like one of my classes I share on languaging, that's our core class called Mastery Embodying Conscious Language. When I first designed that class, I taught it in my imagination three times and found the notebook, which I still use. I found the whole system, a whole bunch of different mechanisms to help people actually understand completely the material. And I did all that in my imagination before I ever spoke the first word in a class. So that taking that into place, I know these are all long answers, and I apologize. Outcome facilitation is me going, what is the outcome of your XYZ? And then from that, what's the outcome of that? What's the outcome of that? Well, now this has been 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. And if the person is not aligned, they will not even be able to say an outcome. And an outcome is a state of being, not a getting. So if I ask someone, what's your outcome for getting married? And if they go, well, we're finding a way to be happy, or we're getting any ing word, that's a process word. It's not an outcome word. So there's languaging overlaps beautifully in a system, imagination activation as code, as well as outcome facilitation. And so in outcome facilitation, I also add body language, what I call sacred body language translation. So, you know, if somebody is imagining their outcome of having their new business, in 2 seconds to 1 minute, their glitch, their disagreement with their victory or success will show up immediately. We can take that, reflect it, translate it for the person, and help them find the upgrade. Like, you know, a lot of people, they say, would love to have $1 billion. And I say, well, let's get practical. If somebody walked in the room right now saying, you know, delivering to you $1 billion in cash, what would be the first thing you would do? And people might celebrate or go to the bank. No. The first, you know, whatever they do, but just practically, most likely you would close the door, shut the windows, and call the police in an armored car. I mean, just to make it practical. Not that anybody's done this yet for me with $1 billion, but the point is, it's all my own consciousness, so that's what I help people do, is to test everything through outcome facilitation before they actually take an action to make sure they've seen and experienced and imagined from the end, from the beginning.
You know, Bob, I want to put you out on the speaking circuit where you go to every single conference that's being held in the internet marketing world where everybody throws around, I want to make $1 million.
Well, even, you know? I'll share this with you. Hold on. Just in languaging, I want to put you out on the teaching circuit. The word, no judgment, dear. I'm just going to show you languaging. Please,
yeah,
please,
yeah.
Please, from my heart.
Yeah, I love
it. I want means I lack.
Yep.
So that's the first place. We start everybody in conscious language. Once they wake up to conscious language and start to get miracles, then conscious choice shows up. And then how beautiful to give individuals the tools, the system, and the code for imagining from their wish fulfilled instead of toward it, so we begin to use spiritual laws versus human gotta get, gotta build, gotta, you know, type thing. Like use the invisible quantum field versus the little human belief of, I got to do this. It's so nice to get the help of our great inner self to do this stuff. And, you know, scripturally, now again, not religion, it says the Lord, or also translated the law, also translated the I am, is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Hmm.
So if you see me out with this, that's basically my outcome is our people are awake creating that which sustains life and blesses life, whatever that is for people. And one of the first steps is to wake up to what we're saying.
At a very minimum, it makes me very conscious as I'm crafting what I'm about to say.
Yes, ma'am. And I have so many people going, it's really hard to talk with you, Bob. So forgive me ahead of time. And what we do, because it's pretty normal, you know, it's like, well, I don't want to say it wrong. And what I say is, look, if it's in there, it'd be better just to say it and find it. So
yes.
The healing of the right wrong is the healing of the ages.
Right. From my frame of reference, it's speaking and being self-aware and conscious of your speech. So I say it with my clients very often, just say it wrong, because then we can work with it.
Absolutely.
Rather than trying to figure out how to say it, quote, the way you're expected to say it, to say it right. Just say it.
Yep.
We've now got the language out there, and now we can unpack it, unwind it, and work from there.
Well said.
So, Linda, before we get to the very end and not tell people where they can find Bob and what he teaches, we've got to tell them how to find it.
Absolutely. So there is a link. That's a nice quick link. It's bbdnow.com/mastery. And that's going to take everybody to this amazing free 3-video series that Bob has. And it's an opportunity to dive into everything that he's sharing with us today. So I encourage everybody, go there and go play, because that's what it was for me when I went through the experience of the videos and the material that we're talking about here now. And Bob, you've got a program that you're launching right now.
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's 40 years in the making, and I'm just amazed that, you know, way back, if you would have talked to me when, you know, 40 years ago, I had the answer. And I did. I had a big one. But ever since then, this whole thing has come together in now what I call Mastery Systems Life Coaching, where an individual can study it from home, or the next tier study from home, and come for 5 days, and we call it All for You. That's the first one. And then those that stay for the next 5 days can do All for You, helping others. And it's bringing a whole series cohesively of conscious language, imagination activation, outcome facilitation, sacred body language translation, high agreements, etc. These amazing upgrades is what I call them to our human operating system. I call it our conscious human operating system versus what we have been in the past called an unconscious human operating system. And whether a person's going to upgrade from home and come and bathe themselves in their own upgrades, to also helping in a life coaching situation, helping their world find a glitch so quickly, partner with a person in their own heart and revise and upgrade and awaken a whole new self, a whole new being within themselves that was already in there, with ease and grace. And it's, what I love about this particular form of coaching is it's no one's really coaching from outside. People are just reflecting what's going on and then helping the individual find out what it turns into. Like fear in our system is actually faith returning. The minute fear shows up, faith and trust and security is pushed. So that's, we're launching that, and it's I'm thrilled, and it's awesome.
And all of that information is at bbdnow.com/mastery. You just used a word that I heard you use in one of your trainings, which was trust. And I would love it if you would talk about your thoughts and your teachings around this whole issue of trust.
Yes, ma'am. That's a biggie.
Mm-hmm.
It's essential for us. You know, like when we talk about the business model and coaching others, and then for me, I define, I have certain, I'm visual, so I'm, you know, my hands are in the air right now talking about these cool pictures I see, so hope you can imagine me with my hands flying through the air. All right, so anyway, imagine a language system of want, can't, need, gotta, should, in order to be a good person so that I can finally, all of those structures, which are common in the language I grew up with and most people I know. And then begin to have a couple successes without even knowing how, and then begin to find my heart, my inspiration for my life career while still using a limited language system and thinking that I got to get somebody or something outside of me to agree or approve of me, which is never true unless we believe it is. And then go to the idea that, you know, decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. Wow. By your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Now, I'm not talking religion. I'm just talking about maybe that's a law. So then to go to the idea that, oh, what I desire in my heart is that very thing landing in my world, or I would not be aware of it as a desire. The word desire means of the Father of the stars. And then realize that I am that I am. I am one with creation. Creation is in me. Every quality and strength of creation, or whatever term people put it in, is in me because my physical being and my energy right here is being imagined by some great something somewhere here now. And then go, oh, then to trust that my own heart is all has within it every quality, strength, substance, amount, energy, money, whatever it is, of the thing I desire, this thing called trust becomes a done deal. The moment I trust, instantly the universe builds that which I trust exists. You know, like faith is the physical substance of things hoped for, the physical evidence of things unseen. So full of faith, it's been said, full of grace. No faith, no grace. And grace means using the invisible side. I'm just going to keep it simple, not having to do it from the physical side. So this word trust is, I believe, our true nature.
And in this world of endeavors and business where so much is about relationships with partners, relationships with our clients, relationships with the world, relationships with what it is we're bringing as our work into the world, this idea of trust is so important. If you find the place inside yourself that's coming from grace and trust, and you're taking that as your energy into interactions, it can transform your life.
Yes, ma'am. And one thing I share with people, because, you know, I do a lot of, people are pretty amazed by the tools that I share, and I invite anybody, learn them. And I've had people say, Bob, I trust you. And I say, don't trust me. I don't give you permission to trust me. I have a little human in here, not so good. So do you. I don't trust you, and I don't trust me. If I'm going to trust anything, I have to call forth trust. In other words, I got to call forth that which is trustworthy in me and in my world. So this thing, what I'm, the appearance of separation, I believe, is not to be trusted. And so if I choose to have trustworthy partnerships, my job is to be trustworthy in partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you spoke about all the relationships, what I find is communicate clearly, get it in writing, which I found I've not mastered that until now. I mean, it's one of those great ideas. Did you do it? No. So, you know, live and learn, live and learn. So the idea that write it down, and the reason of writing it down is not that the piece of paper is going to prove anything. It's just the very nature of writing it down and having two or more individuals read the same agreement and understand it and agree is usually what most of us in the past haven't done with communication.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. You know, in the past few weeks, we've had a number of guests on the radio show where we've been talking about and learning about the use of language to meet people at their same level of awareness, from completely unaware to problem aware to solution aware to product aware and to, you know, completely aware of a situation and what the inherent problems and potential solutions and proposed problem solver in the terms of a product or service or program might be. And, thinking about it with this additional notion of trust is how to enter into that energy and be speaking to people at their level of awareness from this place of this energy of, I'm speaking to you as someone that you can trust to guide you through this stage, and using language that's evoking that, whether it's in copy or in conversation.
I approach it, I'll speak for myself, a little, maybe an addendum, because I like everything you said. If you were speaking to me in a business model, I'd like the page you were on, so I'll say that
mm-hmm.
first. What mm-hmm. I find is the word trust, I would use alignment at this point.
Mm.
And the alignment is everything for me. Now, when I work with somebody, I can tell if they're aligned or not. So any of us that are going to be successful in life and in business, for me, the upgrade of conscious language is a requirement. If you've upgraded your computer in the last probably every month, every week, whatever, and haven't upgraded your own operating system, well, do that right away, because upgrading to the language of our heart is essential. That our heart is so much stronger than our intellect. The power of our heart is it's our life. And so, for me, alignment signals are so important, my own and someone else's. I remember making a presentation about 10 years ago to a team of people who were helping me design something. It was a big, big, big launch. And so I had my team around me, and these are, you know, people who have been through the stuff, they know it, and I'm sharing my little story, and they're listening, and it was about a half an hour presentation of the highest order, I thought. And I presented it, and I looked around the room, and it was question mark on everybody's face. And one of my good friends goes, I said, what? And he goes, Bob, the entire time you shared this with us, you're shaking your head no. Wow, thank you. I was so grateful to my good brother who reflected that something in me, not right or wrong, was saying no to everything I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where, for me, understanding, in self-aware and then aware in our communication what true alignment is, or the self-sabotage of being out of alignment, and not make it wrong, just find alignment. And this is where languaging and awareness of conscious languaging and body language are really important. And then other factors of tone and stuff like that really are big for us.
And you have a whole team working with you.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
Amazing
trainers.
People. Yep, yes. And that's what I love is that, you know, I've been at this for 40-some years, and so now it's time to give the whole enchilada, so to speak, to our people. And that's what I love, is just bathing individuals in the material until they get their version of it and can go literally change their world and help people. I mean, in 3 minutes, help somebody through. I remember one time I had a clinical, he was a psychiatrist, and he said he'd been on somebody else's couch for 30 years about a topic, and I had him through it in 15 minutes. And, I mean, we almost couldn't shut him up in the class because he was going on and on. I mean, for me, it's like, well, I didn't really understand the model that he was going through, but
mm-hmm.
his body and words revealed exactly what his heart and his subconscious was asking for, that seemingly at that point no one had been able to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be able to hear, like in business, success in business is finding where individuals are aligned in their passion and then help that flourish.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just looking at the clock and we've got about 10 minutes left, and I'm wondering if there's an exercise or something you could guide us through, guide our the listeners and myself through for a portion of that to give them an experience of taking themselves through.
All right. I say yes, first of all, because I love this stuff, as you can probably tell. So, and
yep.
Gina, great connecting with you, dear. Just I'm going to do this imagination. Linda, I thank you so much for who you are and what you're bringing forth and also inviting me on your show.
My pleasure.
And, Bob, if there's anything I can do to help you with your launch, please just reach out. I'd be happy to help in any way that I can.
Beautiful. I say yes, and we'll talk. Because this is a big deal. And by the way, I'm giving you all the wrapper to the lollipop, so to speak. Well, you know, there's so much more. This is tangibly real. When I say 3 minutes, sometimes somebody can change your entire life, I mean it. And I can show it to you. 40 out of 40 people, if they'll play the game, will change their entire life in a very, very, very short period of time. And, you know, I'm one guy. So, like, let's all wake up to this. If I found the truth, it doesn't mean that it's mine. I mean, I'm a steward of it. So, one of the topics I believe are one of the hottest items on our planet right now is called prosperity. And do you agree with that, Linda?
I do. It's
and
in
Gina?
The conversation.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Me too. So to prosper is so different than getting an amount of money. So one of the ways I define this topic I'm going to do an imagination on in a short period of time is the idea of survival and the idea of thriving, or thrival is what I like to call it. And survival is making do, getting by just enough, settling, you know, sorting inside the box of what's reasonable and possible. Not that exciting, just more like getting by. I believe most people using the Babel virus or limited language have been getting by, making do, no judgment. It's just what the language or operating system produces. And then those of us who have had a dream, a vision, and a hope, had miracles happen, like Gina, you know, resurrecting her health and her life, she's walking now in the state of possibilities. Thriving is a state where the moment we desire or imagine an idea, we on some level have the confidence that that thing can and is happening or can happen. Or will happen. That's what thriving. Survival is motivated by fear of diminishment. It's called fight or flight. It's a reptilian brain, sympathetic nervous system. Thriving is parasympathetic or relaxed, calm, creative, and that's that law of attraction, magnetic. Love equals thriving. Fear and doubt equals survival. So this thing called thriving, and the imagination I choose to give in the time that I believe we have, is to imagine that whatever we love makes us magnetic. So there is a state which I've discovered in my own personal life when I finally admitted it, happened to be in a class, it rocked my world, which one day I felt I had to admit, I came to the point where I had to admit how much I love love. You know, I was finally at this point in my life where I was over fearing what somebody else was going to say or think or do at that point to the degree I was. And I finally admitted how much I love love. And love is the only thing that makes us magnetic to good. I'm going to say it again. Love is the only thing that is magnetic to our good. So what I'm inviting everyone listening to do is to just imagine your miracle has already happened and your needs are already fulfilled and your dreams in full manifestation are already landing in your world. They're already landing. They're knocking on your door. They're finding you. They're shipped. They're here. And all you have to do to let your good in, which is the way all creation works, is to love your desires as if they already exist. without any thought whatsoever of how to get them to exist, like I have ways you know none of and they're beyond finding out. So I'm going to take you through this again. Just imagine your miracles have happened, and make them miracles, not just possibles. Imagine your full miracles have already happened. You don't have to name them. Just imagine they happened. You will notice something about your breathing once you've done this, and usually it's where spirit breathes us. And we start to move into what is called parasympathetic or relaxed or infilled or spirit-rich or inspired. And just keep following your breath and keep imagining your next miracle happen. You don't have to name what it is. Just imagine you have become a doorway, and this door opens in to your great good. It blesses you and blesses all life by just you being present. And all you have to do is be grateful, which makes you full of greatness.
Mm.
Being thankful, which means you're full of thanks. And appreciate, which means to add value to everything you touch.
Wow. I'm going to be repeating this on throughout the day. Well, I know for certain that everyone who listens to our conversation today and on the replays and on the emails I'll be sending out to folks is going to be diving in at bbdnow.com/mastery to get an experience of those videos and find out more about your programs. And you travel quite a bit teaching as well, don't you?
Yes, I do. In fact, I've been home for the longest time in years and years, and so I'm just now designing. In fact, if anybody goes, we'd love to have them come to our group. I'm going to be going on a tour, a short tour, for probably 2.5 weeks, coming up very quickly. So you can just contact Linda, and she'll know how to have how to get in touch with us. So
sure. And yeah. I know Gina and I both look forward to any and every way we can help support you in this launch that you have going on and bring this teaching and training to the world. I mean, it's a joy and a pleasure and a privilege to be able to take this new languaging, the consciousness of our language and so many of the elements that you've talked about today, and take it into ourselves and into all aspects of our lives.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for being who you are, because, you know, it takes clarity to realize clarity, and I really appreciate your support. And my prayer is, and it's interesting, Linda, when you contacted us, my prayer is, you know, dear Creator, dear God is what I say, you know, bring me those people who are already leading who can benefit from this upgrade. And it's simply an upgrade of what's already working. It's not like a dogma where somebody has to change their entire life. No, it's an upgrade. That's the beauty. That's why I love upgrading.
Yes. And why should we devote upgrades only to our computer equipment and our televisions and things external to us?
Yes, ma'am.
How much more what we're able to manifest bringing our own gifts and our own passions and our own purpose to the world, upgrading ourselves?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Any particular thoughts you'd like to leave us with today in our last minute?
Yes, ma'am. One is that every class I do, basically an aspect of my life mission is, and I invite people to vote victory, whatever that means to them, what I call it. I use the word I am, which means I is God, M is action, in my definition. I am your permanent victory in the light. I invite you, try it. I mean, use your words, readjust according to your belief, and I invite everyone to just begin. I mean, the minute I say I am, I'm saying it's a done deal. I am, it's not a getting. I am your permanent victory in the light. I invite you to share this idea, your words, your way, everywhere you go. Do it for one whole day. Sit on a street corner and you will see absolute miracles.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Bob.
You are welcome. Thank you so much, Gina, for having me.
And thank you, Linda. Linda and I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a fantastic week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.